Jesus is enough. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And you know what else? Listen, you know what else we're not trying to do when we're soul winning? We're not trying to win an argument. If you get in an argument about soul winning, your soul winning is done. Walk away and come back another time. It's not trying to win an argument. It's not trying to sell people on something. It is relying on the Holy Spirit who has gone before us and who has empowered us. Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things. I left out something. But then at the end he says, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. It's allowing for the leading of the Holy Spirit. It's anticipating the presence of Jesus going with us, and they do all the work. We talk about soul winning. We talk about being a soul winner. No matter how many people you have witnessed to, you have not won one of them. Neither have I. The soul winner is the Holy Spirit. We're just the witness. We're just the witness. Here's some practical things. Letter A tonight. Practice presenting the gospel. We've got some, you might call them scripts back there. We're going to look at those in a little bit. If the pastor will get done soon enough, we're going to practice tonight. Oh no, people just got real nervous. And this script back there, you don't memorize the exact words. As I mentioned that before we read our text, you calibrate it towards each conversation. The conversation might start differently. The conversation might involve different things, but the plan is the same. The scriptures are the same. Don't shortcut salvation. There's not a shortcut in salvation. There's not shortcuts in salvation. Pretty good people need to know that they're lost. Very religious people need to know that without Jesus Christ, without having come the way of the cross, that's not salvation. They need to know that. We can't shortcut it. We can't go a side door, a back door. Jesus gave a picture, and I think it's John 10, where he talks about he's the good shepherd. The first thing he says, though, is that I'm the door. And he talks about a sheepfold with low walls, but one door. And he said, those that come over the walls, they aren't part of my flock. You've got to come through the door. Yeah, Jesus said he's the door. So we'll review quickly this evening. Practice talking through it. Practice out loud. Have a Bible or a New Testament with the familiar passages of Scripture marked. Philip was ready and eager. He had prepared. He was a faithful witness. He had done this before. Here's what we need to do. They need to understand that God loves them. Understand that God loves you, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The lost person that you're witnessing to needs to understand that God loves them. But then they also need to understand, they need to realize their lost condition. Yes, God loves us. Yes, God loves us. And people want to, I think it's even in John chapter 3, where people want to talk about, well, Jesus said he didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Yeah, he didn't have to condemn the world. The world was already condemned. Don't let people twist scripture on you, ladies and gentlemen. It does say Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world. It did say when he came, he brought a sword. But anyways, it does say he didn't come into the world to condemn the world. The world was condemned already because of sin. Don't let them water down Jesus right there. Lost people. The Bible says in Romans 3, there is none righteous, no, not one. In verse 10 of Romans 3, and then in verse 23, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Even pretty good people, even very religious people, even those people who are okay with God, if they haven't come to him the Bible way. Notice God's price for sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Do you realize that if Jesus hadn't paid my price, I have to. And if I don't receive Jesus' payment for my sin, my price, I have to. Yeah. That's what they need to understand. There's a price for sin, the wage of sin. We understand, most of us who have jobs, you get paid. It's your wage. You get paid for what you've done. You get paid what you deserve for what you've done. As a sinner, we get what we deserve for what we've done is death and hell, separation from God. But that last one, believe that Christ died for you. Romans 6:23. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we go on and on with this passage of Scripture, Romans 6:23, Romans 5:8. Tremendous. And then it's confessing our faith. Confessing our faith. Romans 10:9 and 10 talks about believing in the heart, confessing with the mouth. And verse 11, we can't ever forget verse 11. The Bible talks about that it's important that you believe with your heart and confess with your mouth, because it says in verse 11, whosoever believeth shall not be ashamed. So why would we be worried about, oh, I don't want to say, I don't want to pray. Why not? We can walk them through a prayer. It's okay. Letter B. Number A, letter A was practice presenting the gospel. Letter B is be prepared to share your faith. Be ready. Be ready. Know the word of, know your Bible. Know the word of God. Know these basic passages of Scripture so that you can lead someone from a place of being lost to coming to that point where they make a decision for the Lord Jesus Christ. Be prepared. We could put it this way. We could put it this way. Be eager to share the gospel with others. Maybe we ought to do that. Be eager to share the gospel with others. The letter C. We see this from Philip's example tonight. He was in a place where God was doing great things. It was probably a comfortable place. It was probably a joyful place, a rejoicing place, not a perfect place, but God, things were moving. Be prepared to share the gospel with others. Be eager to share the gospel. Then letter C, be obedient to the Holy Spirit. Be obedient. This is the key. We don't win people. In fact, when we meet at 10 o'clock on April 13th, we're not meeting at 10 and then running out the doors. No, we're gonna pray. If we haven't prayed before then, we're going to pray then. Lord, please send your Spirit before us. Be obedient to the Holy Spirit. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Philip was not just obedient, he was sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And so when the Holy Spirit told him to leave Samaria and go into the desert, he was familiar with the Spirit of God and the leading of God. And so when the Lord spoke, Philip went. You have to be familiar with the Holy Spirit if you're going to recognize its leading. So we have to understand, this wasn't the first time that the Holy Spirit had spoken to Philip. Right? Well, you can't be a deacon in a church and then end up going to Samaria and being a preacher of the gospel without having a pretty good relationship with the Holy Spirit. Number one, Philip shows us the importance of relying on the Holy Spirit, practicing presenting the gospel and being eager to share the gospel and obedient to the Holy Spirit. Roman numeral 2 is controlling the conversation. There's going to be times where people have a lot of different questions about, you know, things like, did Adam and Eve have belly buttons? While you're trying to witness to them, it's okay to have questions, but you need to learn a simple trick. That's a good question, but can we stay on our subject here today? Because you need to know how you can be saved. That's a good question. Can we come back to that later? That's a phrase you'll need to learn. Philip did a good job of controlling the conversation. When he heard this man's reading, he knew exactly what he was reading from, and so that was his jumping off point. That was his point of commonality, and it became a conversation. This isn't Philip preaching to this man. It was a conversation between two men, and I understand as soon as we start thinking about it, sharing the gospel and being a witness, it's probably every new soul winner's greatest fear. What if someone asks me something that I don't know the answer to? It's probably going to happen. That's the good news. It's probably going to happen. But it's okay. I've heard people say this, if you never share the gospel until you know every conceivable question that a lost person might ask you, you will never share the gospel. Yeah. With the Ethiopian, Philip controlled the conversation. He kept the focus. Kept the focus. And so it's good to be familiar with answers to some common questions people ask. And we're going to look at some of those. And you don't need to feel like you need to memorize all of these, but simply familiarize yourself with them. So how do we deal with some common questions? Letter A are some common objections. And there's probably more than just, what, 7 of them? There's probably more like 77 in the Derby Midwest. But some commonly asked questions or statements people make to ask someone sharing the gospel with them. You may have heard people say, I've always been a Christian. No one's always been a Christian. No one's always been a Christian. For Psalms 51:5 says, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. And John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, that's important, received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Even if a person is born into a home with Christian parents or baptized as a baby, none of those things save you. You don't inherit salvation from your parents. It doesn't come by osmosis from your parents. It takes individuals, individually, personally, calling on Christ to be saved. I've always been a Christian. Well, no one has. There's none righteous. We could go back to Romans chapter 3 and verse number 10. There's none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Number two, a familiar one, is I've asked God to forgive me many times. Yeah, I'm sure we all have. And after you get saved, you will continue to do that. Amen? Yeah, because we're still just sinners saved by grace. A lot of people will say, well, I pray every day. Well, there's a difference between praying every day and the prayer to receive Christ as your Savior. There's a difference. There's a difference. It's a prayer of faith. It's believing in Christ's ability. It's believing in Christ's willingness to save. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Number three. Are we all good? Everybody up to date? Number three. This is too simple. I need to do something to earn it. I need to do something to earn it. Well, if we could earn our salvation, Romans 5:8, it wouldn't be a gift if we could earn it. If it's partly our effort and partly God's grace, then it's not grace at all. And it's not biblical salvation. Romans 6:23 still says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We often were told, when I was first learning how to lead someone to the Lord, about this idea of a gift, and we would take a pen with the church's name on it so they could have it and say, hey, if I offered you this pen, it's a gift. When does it become yours? When does it become yours? I mean, I can offer you this gift all day. I can offer you this gift all day. When does this gift become yours? You have to reach out and take it. Personally, you reach out and take it. It's a gift. Ephesians 2, we're familiar with those verses. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Why? Not of works, lest any man should boast, because man wants to boast about being a part of it. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost. What do you suppose works of righteousness are that don't save you? Well, we would say it this way. It'd be like coming to church. That don't save you. It'd say, any other of those religious things that we could think of, those don't save you. And they don't add to your salvation. They're works of faith after you're saved. Anyways, we're not going to get any study and practice time tonight. Number four is, I'm good enough. I'm not a very bad sinner. A lot of human nature is to want to compare ourselves. Well, to those other people, I have often referred to those inmates there at Leavenworth, where I grew up, in Leavenworth Maximum Security Penitentiary. We would all sit here and sit in this auditorium, and we could all say in our flesh, I'm better than every one of those inmates in there. And you know what? We might be right. But that doesn't make us any more better, more gooder. It doesn't make us any better or more worthy of salvation. It's whosoever still whosoever. And you can all compare yourself. The Bible, Paul wrote to the Corinthians and said, those that compare themselves among themselves are not wise. Yeah. Why? Because Isaiah 53:6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Isaiah 64:6 says, we were all as an unclean thing, and all our unrighteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. We've read Romans 3:10, 10, 11, and 12 enough tonight, where it talks about there's none righteous. Number five, doesn't death end everything? How do we know there is a heaven and a hell? Well, I'd start out this way. When we talk about coming from the perspective of the Word of God, We could say it, we would begin saying this way. You know, they're most likely familiar with Jesus. We would tell them this, that, well, Jesus talked more about hell than he did anything else. Because Jesus knew about the reality of hell. And if you wanted to take him to a very real picture of Jesus really talking about hell, you take him to Luke chapter 16, where there was a rich man who died and a man named Lazarus who also died. And the Bible says that the poor man, the beggar, Lazarus, lifted up his eyes in Abraham's bosom. And the Bible says that the rich man lifted up his eyes in a very real place called hell, being in torment. And then he began to beg Abraham. He began to beg Abraham that he would allow Lazarus to dip his finger in water and to drip it on his tongue, just a drop of water, which would have done nothing for the torment that he was facing. And he asked him, because he begged him to help quench the torment that he was in. That's the story Jesus is telling. It wasn't a parable. It wasn't an analogy. No, it was God the Creator looking into eternity and seeing what actually happened when a poor man named Lazarus died and a rich man died also. Yeah, the reality of hell. Hebrews 9:27 tells us, as appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Number six, I don't want to give up my lifestyle or my friends. Mark 8 tells us, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? 2 Corinthians 5:17 gives us this promise. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Listen, God will give you the grace and the desire of a new life. I don't want to give up my lifestyle. Number seven is a dangerous one. It says, I think as long as I'm sincere in what I believe, that's all that matters. As long as I'm sincere. You want to know something? You want to know a truth? There's a lot of people that know God, but the Bible says that the devils know who God is too, and not a one of them are saved. 1 John 5:13 says that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Jesus said in John 14:6, Acts 4:12, Jesus is the only way. There'll be a lot of sincere people who stand before God, and God will look at them and say, I never knew you, depart from me, for I never knew you. And they were very sincere in what they believed. In fact, Proverbs 14:12 tells us there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, and they may be very sincere in that way that seems right, but the end thereof are ways of death. So how do I lead someone to a decision? That's number three, leading to a decision. At this point in the conversation, you've reviewed it. You've walked through these objections and these common questions and things like that. So how do I lead to a decision? At this point, you want to continue to be very sensitive to how, to the Holy Spirit, but also to how the person is responding. Philip, as he walked this man through the plan of salvation and told him about the Jesus of who Isaiah was writing to, was very sensitive to how the Holy Spirit was leading. He knew the Holy Spirit had set this before him in a way that was very clear and continue to rely on the leading of the Holy Spirit. But you have to be aware whether they're just going along with it, or if they're actually ready to make a decision for the Lord. So if you feel led to continue, here are some questions we can ask. Do you believe that you're a sinner separated from God? If you were to die today, you would go and be separated from God. Another question you might ask is, do you believe that Jesus Christ shed his blood to pay for your sin? And would there be anything that would keep you from trusting in Christ as your Savior? Remember, God still promises that if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It might be good to remind them as they're confessing with their mouth that it's just as important that they're believing in their heart. And that's why Philip emphasized, if thou believest with all thine heart. All throughout this opportunity to witness to someone, we're careful to observe how that person is responding and how they're responding to the questions, and if they are keyed in to what we're talking about and what we're speaking about. And we might ask something like this: would you like to trust Christ in faith, to call on the Lord for salvation? Or what would keep you from trusting in Christ as Savior? Depending, always aware of the leading of the Holy Spirit. And then it's important that we get, when you get to this point, to urge them, as you've reviewed the gospel presentation with them, to call on Christ. And I think there's an example prayer on your handout tonight. But we always want to remind them that they're not praying to me. They're praying to God. Even if we have them, it's okay to have them repeat a prayer after you, as long as we stress the fact that they're praying to God. Praying to God. And if the Holy Spirit continues to lead, then with all urgency proceed. With all urgency proceed. With all urgency proceed. On January 13th, 2012, a massive cruise ship with more than 4,200 passengers and crew on board was sailing off the coast of Italy on a tour of the Mediterranean Sea, and the captain had deviated from his planned course, and the ship struck a reef near the shore. And after taking on water for quite some time, the ship began to sink. And abandoning his duty to passenger and crew, captain left the ship instead of remaining to making sure everyone could be rescued. In a phone conversation, the local Coast Guard commander repeatedly pressed the captain for an update of the situation. "Tell me," he demanded, "if there are any people in need there." Failing to receive a satisfactory response, he ordered the captain to return to the ship, and the captain responded, "You realize it's dark and we can't see anything." The Coast Guard commander reminded him, "You've been telling me that for an hour. Get back on board." That captain was later arrested for his failure to do his duty, resulting in the deaths of more than 30 people, because he failed to do his duty when it was darkest. When it was darkest, and when he couldn't see anything, he expected to leave. Every day, we are surrounded by people who will spend eternity in one of two places, either in heaven or in hell. And the fact that so many around us are lost ought to disturb us. It ought to burden us. In Matthew chapter 9, the Bible tells us Jesus cared about people a whole lot. Matthew 9:36. "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." Ladies and gentlemen, the point of this is to be practical, is to teach us, is to help us, but it's also hopefully to renew a burden in our heart, to be stirred by the condition of the lost, even the lost, those closest to us and those we come in contact with every day. Whether it's going to be having the opportunity to sit down and go through a plan of salvation, or simply putting a track in their hand with a presentation of the gospel, we ought to let our heart be stirred by the condition of the lost. We ought to do everything that we can to be part of seeing people saved, more than just on April 13th, but tonight and tomorrow and the next day. If you'll bear with me for a moment tonight, I'd like to take some time. I'd like to allow us some time to practice going over the sheet for the soul winning guide. Ben, would you mind going back there and getting those for me? If you didn't get one last Wednesday night, would you like one tonight? If you need one, would you raise your hand real high? I'd encourage you to find a partner and read it to each other. If not, I'd encourage you to read it to yourself. Just go over the script, so to speak, and just take a few minutes. Maybe we'll take 10 minutes this evening just to go over it, and hopefully we'll have opportunity again to practice again. But we're going to take some time this evening. You don't know the soul-winning guides. What are those? Okay. What do you need? You only have two left. Okay. Okay, go ahead and hand them out give them out. They have those too. You want to go get those? Because you know where they are. They're where you left them. Go ahead and get started. My wife has some more. When she comes back in, if you just raise your hand again, we'll get those passed out to you. But we're going to take a few minutes tonight. Just go over those scripts tonight. If you have someone to go over it with, that'd be great. If not, just read it over to yourself. Just a general script.